Mr. Clarkson, reel 9.
All the other doors by the various cleaners and sweepers, sealed up with paper pasted over them, portholes closed, and then all the boats had to be moved, the decks had to be cleared for the hoists of coal coming aboard, and so the boats were hoisted out into the water. All the crutches had to be taken off from the boat deck, all stowed away in some corner or other. These chutes where the coal came in were round, I suppose, about 8 inches to 2 feet across. Now, they went right down to the upper deck. We had, I think it was 4 in our mess alone used to come through. So therefore you had to have a canvas, like a canvas tube, from the deckhead down to the next manhole. And you normally started at about 4:30 in the morning. Call hands at 4 o'clock, you're all prepared. You wore all kinds of rigs you could see, every football shirt there representing all the various leagues.
That was quite permissible. You could wear anything.
Anything at all. And it was quite a performance. I always wore a boiler suit with tucked in the socks at the bottom, tied round again with the spunyan, like a large handkerchief down over your head. Now, we used to Vaseline our eyes, poke Vaseline up our nostrils. You had to. And all the bags, these weighed about 200 weight each, that used to come in a hoist, we'll say a hoist of 20 bags. And they were all well greased. A strop used to go through all the handles, there were iron handles, and tons of grease on that, so that everything worked smoothly. Quite a performance. And then where you mustered, that you used to go on a board where you A1 chute or A3 tip, wherever it was, they're all marked, and so you knew where you had to go. And on the tip, that was where the POs used to go. There was normally about 12 of them, and they could be artificers, seamen, POs, anybody on them.
Everybody who wasn't an officer was on calling ship?
Everybody except telegraphists.
Except telegraphists, right. And the officers weren't... Which officer would be responsible for the job properly?
The commander. Yes. Mm-hmm. The commander, he didn't call ship, but he walked round the ship with a bugler to see everything was going all right. And it was a great, he was trying to gee everybody up, speed, because other ships would be calling probably at the same time, the same type of ship, getting in the same amount of coal. And it was a competition. Always to see who could get. Every now and then, the hoist of flags used to go up to say how much he'd got in, and you could see the commander there looking through his telescope to see if you were getting beaten or if you were beating another ship. And the then he would have a big blackboard, have a fella carrying that around, and he was usually a bit of an artist, drawing great big foaming pints of beer there with froth on top. And writing underneath, the sooner you get it in, the sooner you get ashore and have one of these. But you never did get ashore that night. Oh no, you had to stop and clean the ship up. And it was, if you looked over at the collier alongside, all the seamen were in there, literally digging the coal out. It was all loose coal, and they were digging that, filling bags, just like ants. Well, he never stopped.
Who would be responsible for that? I mean, did they have senior POs, one in charge of the collier?
Oh, yes.
One at each?
Over in the collier.
Yeah.
They'd have POs over there in charge of them. And then this coal was shoveled into the bags, and as soon as they got 20, all in various holes of the collier, and you had your derricks rigged on the ship. And then they'd say, we'd hear her say, look out there, and up it come the hoist, these 20 bags, and you had to drop on it quick, because they were already filling up other bags, ready for it to come over. And you threw yourself onto this thing. I'll say if there was a dozen over there, you all went, threw yourself on there to release the strop, to get that out. The derrick would pull that up and away it went. Now you had to get rid of those 20 bags straight away. And there was a long line of bootnecks, marines, officers, the chaplain, all the lot. After a little while, of course, you couldn't tell one from the other. And that was a great time for getting your own back on an officer. You could call him anything you liked. You useless so-and-so. And you had to beware, because they were also trying to break speed limits. And as they rushed along, there was two of you on a bag, lifting that onto a truck. Next truck, with that truck would shoot off, the next one would come along. On there, two onto that one, and so on. Before you got rid of those, hardly, there'd be another hoist in the air above you, ready to drop. And those people on the trucks, they'd rush away. They all had their special hole to get to. And when they got to that hole, there was two more POs as a rule there, one each side, and by Jove, they had to work. They used to come along with these trucks, and they got such experts at it that they could run and then stop with a jerk, and the bag of coal would take a somersault, and if you weren't careful, that would go down the hole, and that would choke everything, stop progress. Up would come the engineer officer from down below, and you'd get a coat in there. And then alongside, as you tipped that up, so you threw the bag aside to a boy who was usually stationary, and he was piling up the empty bags.
You said the actual officers were on board as well, and you had a chance to get your own back on them. They were actually working at calling ship too.
Doing exactly the same as the others.
Were they really now?
Oh!
Lieutenants, sub-lieutenants, lieutenant commanders. What, up to what rank do they actually...
Up to a commander?
Up to a commander.
Oh, yes.
Quite commonly, they would don the old football strips and the...
They were, yes, they were always... There was... they used to wear anything and everything. And then, of course, somebody used... A lot of them used to wear something comical.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It... anything funny that they could put on, it was all to create a spirit of enjoyment, really. Not that there was much enjoyment attached to the job. And then there was the band. They were all in a coal and rig as well, the marine band.
They were too.
And they were playing stirring tunes all the time. And
getting their instruments all coal dust.
Yes, and then every now and then, of course, there were these kettles of lime juice, malt and mix. And every now and then you could go up and drink that. Actually, you were drinking as much coal dust as you were lime juice.
Can I just ask you, actually, what about if it was... what was the best sort of day to do it on? What was the most favoured weather?
Oh, nice sunny weather.
Sunny weather.
Yes. Because you can imagine what it's like up in Scapa Flow, somewhere like where it's snowing and it's cold. You get warm, but you're numbed, more or less. And then the worst part ever is when you don't get all that coal in. Because probably there's other ships have been coaling. You've got to wait your turn before you can get to the collier. So it may be late in the day when you start coaling. And so you coal right up till it's dark. And then you've got to sleep just as you are for the night till 4 o'clock or 4:30 the next morning. And so you crawl away into a couple of coal bags, cover yourself up with some more. You're all as black, dirty, your nostrils, your mouth, everything is full up with coal dust, but you're so tired you can go off to sleep and you wake up in the morning and start off again. And not until you've finished until that colon is finished, do you get a spell? You go down for your meals, there's people who are excused, that's somebody who's lame, sick, or the telegraphist, and they more or less put the stuff down in front of you. It's like feeding a lot of dogs. And you look, it's marvellous, looking across the table. It was 50 in our mess and two long tables. Yeah. And all you can see is the whites of their eyes. You hardly know who you're talking to. And you're scraping off this coal dust off your bacon and red lead, tomatoes or whatever it is. And then, when you finish coaling, so you start washing down straight away. Those hoses going everywhere. You get knocked over the side with those. The sailors love that. The seamen on the... they'd be watching us, we'd picking out the holes where the boat crutches go in them with a bent nail, pulling out the oakum so that we can pull the crutches along and screw them down again. And all the time we're doing that, you're suddenly a jet of water itch in the back and knocks you over there. But everybody's moving, going so quick. And it'll take, 4 or 5 hours to wash down. And then you see they'll all start peeling off things around the doors. Everybody scrubbing out the various messes. And it takes days and days to get it all out and clean. By that time, you're coaling again.
Yeah. Was it... Well, this first of all, on washing ship afterwards, did that involve everybody as well? That just was the sailors were responsible? Did that the same people were still...
Oh, you've all got your jobs, you see.
Jobs again.
The sailors man the...
hoses.
They man the hoses. Mm. All the shipwrights, artisans, the blacksmiths and all those people, the daymen, as they call them, they're putting back things because doors, all sorts of things have to come off, boats, crutches and everything.
Yeah.
And then the boats have to be got back in again.
Yes.
There were these, the main derrick they used to use for that. And then, of course, that involves the shipwrights again and the torpedo men that run the electrical.
If you went on calling ship in the morning, you started 4:30, 5:30, 6, say, and you didn't finish till, say, 6:30 or 7 in the evening, you'd be on washing up and clearing up?
No.
No, but then stop?
No washing up until it's done.
Oh, I see.
You don't wash up and then start again together.
No, what I was saying was that when you finish calling, if you finished, say, late in the afternoon, or maybe even when it's nearly evening, would you just turn to and wash up then, or would you wait till the morning?
No, you turn to and wash up then.
Whenever you finish, whatever happened...
Yes, it wouldn't matter if it was night.
Yeah.
You start.
Right.
You get that wash down first.
Yeah.
Many a time we've gone ashore up in Scotland, and after coaling, if you've got the coaling finished, we'll say at 4 o'clock, and washed down by 8, they might pipe leaf for one watch, and we've gone ashore and sat down in a canteen, if it was in the Gordon or a pub somewhere, and you're just half asleep, and as much as you've washed and scrubbed yourself, your eyes are still black and your nose, you're coughing up coal dust, and you're really tired. And well, the other thing is that when you finish coal and ship, by some means or other, the engineers always turned the water off when he went down the bathroom. Now, there was no baths, of course, but those hip baths about 5 or 6 inches deep. Well, there's only so many of them, and you get in a big ship where there's 90 chiefs and POs use that bathroom. There's a lot of bowls, probably about 20 bowls, wash bowls. And then there's half a dozen at the most of these baths. Now you go down there as soon as you've finished, as soon as the washing down and all has been finished, and there's just a trickle of water. They always seem to run short of steam.
Do you think that was, they tried that on? Do you think that was just part of the...
It seemed to be done purposely.
Did it always happen like that?
Yes, really? Every time. Now you get down there and you're trying to, you've got to have a bath.
Sure.
You've also got to wash the outfit that you've cold in. That'd be probably overall, suit, shirt, socks.
Mm-hmm.
You bath first and then wash them in the water that you've had a bath. But there used to be a long stream of us, and you'd be washing down the back of a fellow in front, another fellow behind you, he'd be washing your back. But I say, there was always a shortage of water. Sometimes the water would go right off when you were halfway through, and other times there'd be no hot water at all. Now there was a business of getting all that clothing dry. There's no laundries on these ships that I'm talking about.